access to inspirational truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, friend, I want him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, he came to be yours. The Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. Well, I hope this finds you well. I do know it finds you blessed. It's a beautiful day. And you know what I'm thinking on top of that statement? It'd be a beautiful day for the Lord to come if you're saved, ready, and looking for him. If you're not, you can get that way. Man, look, you can get saved in a heartbeat. I'll tell you, you can get saved in a heartbeat. The Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you, and I think that he is, or else you wouldn't be listening to this old country preacher. Listen, friend, no man can come unto me except the Father who sent me. Draw him. If the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, all you got to do is bow your head, humble your heart, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it's not what you say that counts in a prayer, but he said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So why don't you call on him now? Debbie and I are excited about the program. We always are. I say that just about every time that I come to you, but it's serious. We're excited about the ministry that God has called us to, the privileges God that has given to us. Now, they're great responsibilities. Don't you ever doubt that, and we take them serious. We know that they're serious, friend. Listen, we deal with souls. We deal with souls every time from a pulpit or from this platform of radio ministry of whatever sort that it is. We deal with souls that will either be saved or lost for an endless eternity. We don't take that lightly. We do not take that lightly. So we're glad that you're here. If you started this day lost, you can end it saved. If you started this day headed for a devil's hell, listen, friend, you can be saved and go to that place. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare. I've opened my Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, a great passage of Scripture, a great deal of truth in this passage. I'll not do it justice. I'll just simply get the cream off the top. We're going to look at something that I think is worth our consideration, our prayerful consideration in verses, well, I'll pick it up in verse 5, maybe read down through verse 14. That'll be more than I'll be able to preach, but I'm going to deal with a specific subject in this, and we just trust that the Lord will bless us. Deb's got a song queued up, tuned up, ready to go. One of our favorites, one of her finest, actually, the title of it is The Mystery of the Cross. You enjoy this, will you? And when she's done, I'll be back, the good Lord willing, with the message. Thanks for tuning in today. We appreciate it.
He stood there before Pilate, this king of the Jews. People crying out, crucify. They brought Jesus to Pilate. He said, I find no fault in him, but I'll deliver one to you, but one will have to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown? Then released Barabbas, then he delivered up Jesus into the hands of Satan. sinful men. Then they nailed his hands and feet to the rugged cross. I can't help but wonder why this king had to die. Why would a king give up his kingdom? Why would a king lay down his crown to become the greatest story man had ever found? Why would a king give up his portal to come down and die for me? It's all down his life to bleed and die for me. I will never understand it, though this king has set me free. It's all such a great mystery. It's all such a great.
Well, thank you, Debbie. How true that that is, friend. Listen, he loves us. I'll tell you, there's no mystery to that. There's a lot of mysteries in the life of Jesus. What he did when he came, the fact that he came, all there are things that we can consider mysteries, and we're even going to just simply open the message up today. Well, there's a mystery of Jesus in the womb. Isn't that amazing? Here God was manifest in the flesh. He came in this world through the womb of a virgin. I mean, to tell you, there's a mystery to the silent years of Jesus. Why do we learn nothing from his conception to his birth and then 12 years of age until he started his public ministry at 30? Why do we find him in the garden of Gethsemane? Oh, friend, well, let me back up. There is the mystery of those 40 days and 40 nights of temptation in the wilderness all alone. There's the mystery, friend, of him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying until his sweat became as great drops of blood. There's a great mystery in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. Look, there are many mysteries that we have to consider about Jesus, but that's not what we're going to look at it today. But we're going to look at the question, why Jesus needed, well, it's not a question, it's a statement, why Jesus needed a body. Did you ever wonder about that? Do you ever wonder about why he needed a body? Now look, I'm not going to be able to exhaust this subject. I'm not going to be able to get down to it where I want to be. I want to know more than what I know, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my best to share with you what I've gleaned from my studies, my consideration, my meditation, my looking into the Scriptures, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, the Word of God says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come in to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstools, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. What a great passage of Scripture. I want to talk to you about why Jesus needed a body. This passage tells me more, friend, you and I, more than we've got time to consider, to look into. But you know the essence of this is when Jesus is coming here, you know what He's doing? He's bringing the exposition that He's been writing on about the priesthood of Christ to an end. And He's summarizing it. He's saying, listen, there was a time that those types and shadows of those beasts dying in the wilderness as a substitute for sinful mankind. He said they were just a shadow. They couldn't do what needed to be done. They couldn't listen, friend, take away sin. They could cover sin. They could do an atonement for sin. But oh, listen, friend, we needed something to thoroughly take away our sin. You know what else they couldn't do? They couldn't clear the conscience. They couldn't clean the conscience. In fact, the opposite was true. On every day of atonement that was supposed to happen every year, the nation of Israel was to gather around the tabernacle or the temple and afflict their souls. They were to remember the year past, all of their sins that they could think of. But thank God. Thank God. Thank God. And God said, listen, burnt offerings and sacrifices, thou has no pleasure in them. They were a part of God's plan. God, listen, commanded them. Men filled them out. But men carried them out. And you know what? Listen, it pleased God because they were obedient to Him. But when it says God said He had no pleasure in them, they didn't satisfy the need. They didn't need to meet the need of expiation of sin. They didn't meet the need to have sins forgiven. Oh, thank God for this man, Jesus, who was the only begotten Son of God, the virgin-born Son of Mary, who willingly took upon Himself a body like me and you. In fact, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, it tells us clearly what He did. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So you say, why, preacher? Why did Jesus take a body? Well, look, let's just say some things. Some things, all of these things are deep. All of these things demand more time than I'm going to be able to give them. All of them, friend, need consideration, need meditation and study so we can get the deeper things of them. But let me just look. Let me just do what the old timers used to do when they had milked the cow and set the jug over for a while, and they'd let it set before they separate the cream from the top. That's all we're going to do is just stick our cup in and get some cream off the top. Listen to what he said in the book of Colossians 1:15. And oh, what a great passage of Scripture this is. This is a message all of its own. Listen to what he said in verse 15. He said, now he's talking about Christ up in the verses above this, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You know what Jesus did? He manifested God. Oh, he manifested God. Wasn't that what he said in John 14 when he was talking in the upper room, and after that he had made the great revelation that he was going to prepare a place for those who loved him and put their trust in him, and made the great promise that if he went, he'd come again. Listen, when Jesus was there talking to the apostles, Philip, after Jesus had said, from henceforth you know him and have seen him, speaking of God, Philip saith unto him, Lord, sheweth the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me, he that has seen the Father. Now he's not talking about the form of God. Listen, in John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus told the woman at the well, and it's still real today, that God is a spirit. Hey, we hear Paul talking to Timothy about the invisible God. Oh, listen, friend, I want you to know that Jesus made him real. Jesus brought him near. He put him in flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. John 1 and 1 says in verse 14, goes on as a commentary to verse 1 of that same chapter, and he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know what Jesus did? He fleshed out the Word of God. He made God real in a tangible way to men. And when Jesus said to Philip, why, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's talking about, friend, listen, in His character, in His power, in His ability, in His love, in His personality, in His holiness, His kindness. All of those things, friend, that make God, God. Not in His form, not in the fact that He had a body, but He needed a body to bring God close, to bring God to man, to where He could understand them better than before. You know what else? You know what else? Listen, you know why else Jesus needed a body? To be truly the last Adam. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus was on a mission when He came to planet Earth, was He not? I mean, He was on a mission. He came to do something. He did many things, but oh, He came to redeem mankind. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but He said in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give Himself, give His life a ransom for many. Isn't that wonderful? What a great message that is. No wonder that must be the key verse of the book of the Gospel according to Mark. He came not to be ministered to, but to give His life a ransom. And in order to be that, He needed to be a man. He had to have a body that would die. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, God can't die. And Jesus was God. He was so much God, it was as if He were not man. But yet, He was so much man, it was as if He were not God. When God listened, took upon Him of the form of a man, when He took upon Him flesh, when listen, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, He took upon Him another nature. He took upon Him the nature of man, if you will, with sin accepted. In fact, the Word of God refers to Him in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It talks to Him about being Adam, the last Adam. That's what He said in verse 45. And I wish I had time to read on down through verse 49, because He talks about the first Adam was made of the flesh. The last Adam was the Lord from heaven. And He asked the question. He asked the question, why was it like that it is? Why was the first born like He was? Hey, listen, friend. Jesus came like Adam did, the first Adam, as a representative of all man. The first Adam is the federal head of the human race. He represented mankind. And you know what God did? He sent His Son after the first Adam failed, after he sinned, after he disobeyed, after he transgressed the law of God. Oh, friend, after him that He took all men into that place of condemnation, God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send another Adam. I'll send my Son. I'll send a perfect Adam. I'll send one that can represent the whosoever wills. And he won't sin. He won't fail me. Oh, he'll be able to fulfill the law. He'll be able to do those things that always please me. He'll be able in that body, in that flesh, in that fallen world, to obey me. Oh, he proved that he was perfect. He proved that he was pure in those 40 days and nights that I mentioned earlier, where he was in the wilderness, being tempted and tested by my old smutty face. Can I tell you, sir? Did I tell you, ma'am, that he did not sin? He didn't go in the wilderness to see whether or not he would sin. He went in there to prove that he could not sin. And you know what he did? Thank God, he came out filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. And you know what he did? He proved that he was the sinless Son of God. You say, why, preacher? Well, listen, he had to be a true man. He had to represent us. That's what he was, because he came as a substitution for us. He had to be like us, sin accepted. He had to do all of those things that God desired the first Adam to do, but failed and brought sin in this world in order to take care of the sin of mankind, in order to, if you will, reverse what happened through the first Adam. He needed to be a man like you and I. So he came to manifest God. He came to be truly the last Adam, and he came to fulfill what was written about him in the book. He said it twice. Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Do you know what? Jesus never did anything that was outside the will of God. He never did anything outside of what was in the Word of God. Jesus fulfilled it completely. Jesus filled it, fulfilled it perfectly. He satisfied God's demand, satisfied the law's expectations. He satisfied the holiness of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God. He enabled God to be able to be both just and the justifier of sinners. Oh, listen, friend, I'm glad the Word of God says, I believe it's in John 6:29. I made reference to it just a few moments ago. The Bible said He did always those things that pleased the Father. Never disobeyed. Never surprised God. Did He not say at age 12, according to Luke chapter 2, must I not be about my Father's business? Oh, He knew from the beginning. Did He not? He knew from the beginning who He was and what He came to do. And listen, friend, every jot and tittle that prefigured Him, that pictured Him, that foreshadowed Him, that was recorded in the Old Testament, in that book, in the books of Genesis to Malachi, all of the minor prophets, the major prophets as they call them, the books of history, the Torah, the Pentateuch, which is the same thing, of those books of poetry. Hey, listen, those books of history, did they not point to the Christ? Did they not point unto the coming Son of God? Did they not point unto the Savior, to the Redeemer, to the One that would bear the sins of many? Oh, sinner friend, He needed a body so that He could redeem us. He needed a body so that He could be the sacrifice for our sins. And listen now, He fulfilled the Word of God that was given about Him. Hey, friend, I'm not going to get this done this week, the Lord willing. I'll bring back part two to this. And oh, it's greater than what I am. I know it is. But listen, friend, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself because I need to. I have to give this invitation to you. You know what? The main thing Jesus did in having a body, in having a body formed in the womb of a virgin, a body like mine and yours with fingers and toes, ears and eyes and nose. Hey, friend, He did that so that He might bear my sin and your sin on a tree at a place called Calvary, so that He could become the sinner's substitute. Listen, friend, what a Savior we have. Oh, what a Savior the songwriter wrote. Oh, hallelujah. Friend, thank God. I'm glad that Jesus had a body. Oh, I wish I understood this. I like it's written, like the Holy Spirit wants me to know it. But oh, thank God, listen, I know a little bit about it. I know a little bit about why He come. When He came the second time, when He came, listen, friend, the second Adam, the last Adam, if you'll say that, you know what He did? Hey, he took away the first that he may establish the second. Oh, this man Jesus, who was God manifest in the flesh, this last Adam, the Bible refers to him in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, came to seek and to save that which is lost, came to be the Savior of the world, came, listen friend, as a sinner substitute to die in our place. Oh, he was God, but God can't die. He could have come. He could have come to walk among us. In fact, God walked among the children of Israel in their wilderness journey. They didn't see him, but he was there. Hey, he gave them signs to let him know that he was. But this Jesus came to die for us so that you can live. Or listen, if you've never trusted him, run to him today. Bow before him. Call on him and say, God, I'm glad you sent your son Jesus to die in my stead. I want to live for him until one day I can come live with him. Forgive me of my sins. God, make me a new creature in Christ. And you know what Christ will do? He'll save you. Lord willing, I'll be back with the second part of this message, why Jesus needed a body. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.